Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
So, the title that I started with this morning is Stuck on Scripture. I think that maybe we forget that church is the place where Scripture reigns. This 2,000-year-old compilation of ancient writings that are selected out of thousands of ancient writings. There are no shortage of ancient writings. And ancient writings by people who believe themselves to be inspired and, you know, all kinds of ideology. And however, there have been these, in our modern Bible, these 66 books, selections that have been pored over, pounded, critiqued, really put to the test of fire, and have endured for these 2,000 years and handed down to us, we feel like they kind of dropped out of the sky. Boom, you know, one day a Holy Bible came out of the sky and, you know, and there it was, the Scriptures. But that's not how they happened at all. They happened through process. The Scriptures come to us through process. And there is a process that you go through as a Christian where you either decide what is that movie, the red pill or the blue pill, you know? Matrix. Yeah, I knew that somewhere in my mind. You're going to swallow the pill or you're not going to swallow the pill. And either the Scripture is going to be your truth, is going to be the truth above every other truth, or you're going to have this truth that will be marginalized by present-day truth, by contemporary truth, or by your personal preference of truth. And so, I'm stuck on Scripture. And I've been stuck on Scripture really since the beginning. It was within the first couple of months, probably, that I was saved, that I had one of the few events that I had have really had that I can tell you that I really felt like it was God speaking directly to me. And I looked at my Bible, the Bible I had, my first Bible that I had. I was all proud that I had a Bible. It was black leather Bible, like kind of like this, but the type was a lot smaller back then because I didn't need this monstrous type that I use now. And I really felt like the Lord said, either you take it all or you throw it all away. You can't do both. You will never be smart enough to do both, to decide which ones to believe and which ones not to believe. So either you believe it or you don't believe it. And if you're going to believe it, then you got to believe all of it. I don't believe you have to know how all of it is true, that you just have to believe that it's true, and I'll teach you how it's true. It was really the kind of the sense that I had. So therefore, all of the old-fashioned biblical morality, way out of vogue today. I believe it. I believe it's true as far as God says. May not be illegal, may not be hip, but I believe that it's true. So therefore, it does, you know, on some level, it doesn't, I guess we could say it doesn't take a rocket scientist, because I think there's lots of ancient people who did ancient kind of work who had just as much intelligent faith as you and I can have because they had the same book, had the same scriptures. Are you with me? So I'm going to read from 2 Timothy 3. I'm going to read from verse 10 down through 17 of 2 Timothy in chapter 3. And this is Paul, who discipled Timothy, who personally discipled Timothy as from a youth on up. Timothy's mother was a very godly woman, and Timothy had been in the faith since he was a small child. And so verse 10 says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life." My doctrine, that word just means teaching. Paul is saying, you have followed my teaching, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This says a lot, doesn't it? In a few words, it says a lot. It says, listen, it's the Scripture. It's the Scripture that you've been trained in from a youth and you must continue in with, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What makes you complete? Knowledge of the Scripture. Not just knowledge of the Scripture, following the Scripture. Drinking the Scripture deeply, living in this Scripture, obeying this Scripture, recognizing that the Scripture is the Word of God. The Scripture is your book. This church service is about this book. It's about the concepts that were forwarded in this book. Does that make sense to you? That's what this building is here for. That's what that building is here for. That's what we're gathered here for, because we believe the concepts forwarded in this book, that they're important, and listen, they might not get you a job working at a bank, but they will get you to heaven. And they'll get heaven to you here and now. So you're not only going to go to heaven one day when they bury you, but you're going to bring heaven down to this earth here and now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth, God's kingdom is coming. Are you with me? Stuck on Scripture. Stuck on Scripture. You should know it. You should be familiar with it. Nobody should be able to tell a story that you haven't heard before. Maybe you haven't thought of it in a couple of years or something, but you say, oh, I remember that story. I know that story. Because something about the Scripture, when you read it with the right heart, it stays in you. It sticks in you. Jesus said, I'm going to bring you into remembrance of everything that I said to you. Because when God's word is drunk deeply inside of you, it will stay forever. Okay? The word Scripture, that word Scripture, is like grapho, or from where we get graphic and graph and things like that. It's used 51 times in the New Testament, primarily denotes a drawing, a painting, and then a writing. So that graphos word actually means any kind of writing. But obviously, what's implied here is that the scripture Paul is talking about are the holy writings, the writings that were adopted by the Jewish community of that day. And also, the New Testament refers to the New Testament books as holy writings, as scripture. So that's another thing. We're not going to do that. That's a more kind of a teaching setting. So the Old Testament scriptures, those accepted by the Jews as canonical, the canon of the scriptures, and all of those in the New Testament which were to be accepted by Christians as authoritative. These latter ones, the Christian ones, were to be discriminated from the many forged epistles and other religious writings already produced and circulated by Timothy's time. Such discrimination would be directed by the fact that every scripture characterized by inspiration of God would be profitable for the purposes mentioned. We're profitable. The scriptures are profitable for your training, for that we can become the full man and woman of God that God has called us to be. The scriptures are profitable for that. That's why you have to keep them dripping. You have to keep them coming. You have to continue to have the IV drip bag of the scriptures always flowing into your system. They drip, they drip, they drip, they drip, you know. I say, this is not a new word. I know this stuff already. I know you've had hamburgers already, too, in your life, and you're probably going to have them again. And they're going to taste good then, too, like they're going to taste good now. This is a hamburger word, right? You know this stuff, but I'm reminding you. It's the scripture that makes you wise. It's the scripture. It's the scripture. It's the scripture. It's the scripture. We have many layers of wisdom in our culture, right? We have the worldly wisdom. We have the common sense level wisdom. We have the very, very highly educated sense of wisdom. And we have philosophers and anthropologists and psychologists and psychiatrists and all kinds of other people who have priesthoods. We have religions coming out of our ears. We got people who have taken the Christianity and added books on top of it, added other layers of authority on top of it, and they say, oh no, this is the real faith. Back in the 200s, Dean Malaxos is our expert on church history, and he'll tell you all about the Gnostics. And the Gnostics were people who wrote, you might have heard, the Book of Thomas and people like that. They were written like 100 years later by these Gnostics who were mystics and did not believe in the physical Jesus. Listen, the work has been done for you. The scholars have lived and sometimes burned at the stake for what this is. All the apostles of Jesus were martyred, with the possible exception of John. They're not sure about him. All of the apostles of Jesus were martyred giving you this book, including Paul, so that you might have this book, this treasure. That until Gutenberg, people couldn't even have a copy because they'd have to write the whole thing down. Few churches had the full compilation of the scriptures. They may have had a book or two. And the priesthood, the pulpit held all of the power because it held all of the scripture. Now you got it. Check me out. If I say something you think is weird, check me out. You can read. The crazy thing about humans is that we're literate. We could read back then 2,000 years ago, and we can read today. Okay. So a lot of books have come over the time with different ancient writings, all of these and 1,000 others. The Bible didn't drop out of the sky intact. Our holy forefathers studied, debated, searched, sometimes fought, ultimately agreed upon the authenticity of our collection of writings known as scripture. They are inspired by God. that we will stand on them, or we will fall with them, but whatever we do, we will be with them. Matthew 22, I'm going to read from verse 23. Same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, "Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died and after he married and having no offspring, left his wife to his brothers. Likewise, the second also, third, even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her as a wife." And okay, so that's a whole, they were trying to catch Jesus up in that. They were trying to trip up Jesus in that because the Sadducees didn't believe that there was a resurrection. So they're saying, well, if there is a resurrection from the dead and they're going to be married, which one of those guys is she going to be married to when the resurrection comes? Because they don't believe in a resurrection. So they think this is a real tricky way of tripping up Jesus, right? Verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, and this is the point. It's not really going to make a point of how he answered the question, but this is what he said to them. He said, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. Now, they spent their whole lives studying the scriptures. They were the Sadducees, the opposite group to the Pharisees. They were a religious contingent that had a view of the scriptures. And Jesus said, "Your problem is you don't know your scriptures." Now, you tell me where the answer to that question is in the Old Testament scriptures. Because I've been looking for it since I've found that scripture, and I haven't found the answer yet. But I know it's in there. I know it's in the Old Testament somewhere, and I know I'm going to find it. He says, "Your problem is you don't know the scripture or the power of God." Then he goes on to say, well, listen, you're going to find this hard to swallow, but in the resurrection, there is no marriage. But you're going to be like the angels. He just blew them completely away. And even in our humanness, we go, no! I think Jesus knows a little more than us. Right? I'm not crazy about that premise, but that's his word, and I'm going to live with it. Right? So, you don't know the scripture or the power of God. You know, I just looked something up because I've been thinking about Moses and the burning bush. Because I'm always thinking about the scripture, right? And Moses is leading a flock, his father-in-law's flock. You got to understand, those are all types and shadows of Jesus. Jesus coming and leading his father's flock, really, right? Leading his father's flock, but Moses then, he looks over and he sees a burning bush. And I don't think, from what I've read, it wasn't uncommon that there would be a burning bush because there was lightning and it was a dry, arid place. And, you know, that may be a phenomenon that might happen. But as he approached the bush, he realized the bush was not being consumed by the fire. And here's this burning bush. So I just asked Nancy, give me your phone for a second. I got to look something up. What's that bush? And I found out that I think I wrote it down. It apparently was a rare, extremely long-lived species of bramble, that bush. Now, what's bramble reminiscent of? Crown of thorns. It's only about Jesus. Why did that fire not consume him? Because he's the fire of God. He's the fire of God. The Holy Spirit was upon him without measure. That fire from heaven. You see what the scripture can do? How it can enlighten your everything? How it can light you up on the inside that you see Jesus was planned from the beginning? And all of these little vignettes are given to us throughout the Old Testament if we'll drink the scripture as we're called to. We'll come to see that it just glows with Jesus everywhere. All scripture is given by God and is profitable for our training. For all that, Timothy 3:16. Remember that Timothy scripture is a 3:16. Everybody knows John 3:16? Well, now you know 2 Timothy 3:16. That's a 3:16. So, he shut the Sadducees up. That was really cool. Down in 34 of that same passage, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they were like, cool. Jesus silenced, you know, our theological adversaries, the Sadducees. They gathered together. Now they're going to try to take Jesus out. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, what's the greatest commandment of the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." If you can ever swallow that and you can ever take that at face value, you will have a life that you've never known before. If you can learn to love God with the passion of your heart, to love him, not just your idea, some ephemeral idea of who you think he is, little twinkle in the sky, God who can do anything, who wants to send you down a package of ring-dings and all that kind of stuff. No, God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the intelligence behind everything. And you shall love him with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your strength. Love him. How can you know him to love him? Through the scriptures. Through the scriptures. All about God. Not all about God, but everything you'll ever need to know about God. Okay? He said, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. A double dog dare one person in life to ever love their neighbor as themselves. We love ourselves desperately. We feed ourselves several times per day. You know, the best goodies we can find. You know, we clothe ourselves in the finest garments. We groom ourselves. We house ourselves. We have nice, cool cars to drive ourselves. I mean, we take good care of ourselves. He says, that's just how I want you to love your neighbor. Just how I want you to love your neighbor. And then you know what the lawyer is going to ask? Because the lawyer is going to be a lawyer. Mrs. Pryor, forgive me. Well, who's my neighbor? Define neighbor. I don't think it's everybody, so I think it's your neighbor. It's the one you have contact with. I think that's what he's saying. Love your neighbor as yourself. But my neighbor is the one I know. My neighbor is the one that I, dare I say, hate. My neighbor is the one I'm close to. My neighbor is the one that irks me. Are you with me? You know what Jesus says about when he says, love your neighbor as yourself? He tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. Then he says, who's my neighbor? Because the priest passed him by on the other side, right? And the holy man passed him by on the other side. And this foreigner, the Samaritan, who was a dirty rat to the Jewish people, comes by and he picks up his brother and he anoints him with oil and he pours wine and oil on the wounds and binds him up. And then he takes him to the inn and he says, take care of him. And when I come back, I will pay you every dime that it costs you to care for him. That's your neighbor. Scripture, folks.
that old dusty book on your coffee table.
And how do we read the scripture? If you don't have love, you'll never get anything out of the scripture. You'll never get anything out of the scripture. If you don't have love, you'll never get anything out of it. If you read it as you're reading some technical manual or something, you'll never get anything out of it. N.T. Wright says, I said about this last week a little bit. N.T. Wright says, in a poem about love, he's talking about 1 Corinthians 13, why does Paul take his time to contrast an earlier phase of life with the later maturity? Maturity being this place of love, yes, that we're coming to. Because love is the mode of knowing that provides continuity between the present age and the age to come. Love is the constant between our present incomplete knowledge and the full knowledge yet to come. Beginning to love now will bring us to the maturity of the love that will be perfected in the age to come. It's very, very important. You don't know how to love that you try practicing. You learn how to love. And you learn how to love by reading Jesus, doing as he did, speaking as he spoke, loving as he loved, caring sacrificially. You gotta give once in a while so that it hurts. You gotta give once in a while so much that it hurts. I don't care if it's of your money, of your time, of your goods, of something. You gotta give that it hurts. Because you can't really know love if it's convenience giving. Convenience giving is kind of love. It's kind of love. But the real love is love that hurts, is love that takes you where you don't want to go. Amen? Let's stand up with me. Father, in Jesus' name, we love your word. We love the Holy Scripture. We love, Lord God, that you have cared for us so well and given us your scripture, each of us our own copy, maybe 2 or 3 or 5 or 10. But Lord God, they're not doing us much good unless we're reading them and studying them and knowing you through them. So fill us with your Holy Spirit and give us of your love that we might love one another and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
Hey there, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you today for listening to our podcast, On Fire Radio. We pray that this word has ministered to you today, and maybe today God has shown you your need for him in your life. John chapter 8, and in verses 31 and 32, Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus makes us free from our sin. If you need to make Jesus first in your life today and be set free, would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent for my sins today and ask that you would cleanse me with your blood. I place you first in my life and ask that you would give me the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk forward this day in a new relationship with you, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to encourage you to start reading your Bible. You can even download the YouVersion Bible app on your mobile device and start a plan for new believers. Start a prayer life as well and start carving out time in your day to spend time with God. And I want to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We have service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. Powerful worship, dynamic teaching, and an encouraging time of fellowship. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you free online and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. You can partner with us in serving God's vision for this area by donating online at our website, www.cmcconline.org. From there, you can also connect with us on all our social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Send us a message and let us know how this ministry is impacting your life. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.